wanted an explanation. Even after so many years, she wanted one, which was why she was going to see Joanna. And yes, the thought of it made her feel sick and lightheaded, but she needed to know. She'd been planning it all week, since she'd first seen that tiny figure sitting up on the rock in the far distance. She'd known, even without being able to make out the features, that it was Joanna. She'd felt it. And she'd waited. She'd waited for Joanna to call her, or show up at her door, or something. She hadn't been able to think about anything else. She'd missed most of the conversation at dinner, been too distracted to even think about fighting with Eden, and lain awake until the early hours every night, playing out every scenario in her head, working out what she'd say, what she'd do if she opened her door and found Joanna standing there, or bumped into her in the beach bookstore. In the end, it had all been wasted, because Joanna didn't make contact. She didn't appear in town. She was invisible. There was nothing. Not even a handwritten note pushed into her mailbox. Joanna didn't want to talk to Mel, and that hurt more than she could have imagined. It felt as if Joanna had rejected her twice. She'd been staying here for a whole week and hadn't reached out, as if they were strangers, as if they hadn't shared every single minute of their lives up until the age of 18. So Mel decided that she would go to Joanna. Confronting her face to face couldn't possibly make her feel worse. She needed answers. She wanted to know what had happened. She wanted to know what she'd done. Because she must have done something, surely. She could no longer pretend that Joanna had simply been too busy or wrapped up in her new exciting life, or distracted by her love for Cliff, although that part had never made sense, or preoccupied by a wide circle of new friends. The painful truth was that she'd cut Mel out of her life without an explanation, as if she was a wasp in an apple. She hadn't given Mel a chance to have her say. But she was going to have her say now, and if this turned out to be a mistake, then it was a mistake. Better to do something and be wrong than do nothing. And whatever happened, at least she'd have closure of sorts. Mel put the basket in the car and drove to the farmer's market that popped up on the far section of Main Street once a week. She was feeling nervous and wanted to avoid conversation, so she was brisk and businesslike as she swept up plump tomatoes, a fresh sourdough loaf, cheese, a jar of local honey, and some ripe peaches. On impulse, she nipped into the Surf Cafe and bagged up some of Nate's macadamia and white chocolate cookies while he was busy serving a customer. It was a short drive along the coast road to Otter's Nest, but long enough for her to almost change her mind. Why was she doing this? It had been 20 years. She should have put it behind her. What did she think the outcome would be? What could possibly be fixed after 20 years? Joanna probably wouldn't even answer the door to her. And that would make Mel feel awful, but at least she'd know that she tried. It was easy to miss the turnoff if you didn't know where it was, but Mel had taken this road so many times she could have found it with her eyes shut. In fact, she had once found it with her eyes shut, as part of a bet with Nate. When she thought back to some of the things they'd done as teenagers, she wondered how they were still alive. She took the turning, noticing that there was no sign. Nothing to tell the visitor that a property lay at the end of this track. The road wound through the forest, shaded by a canopy of Monterey pine and coast live oak. Occasionally, she caught a glimpse of the tempting sparkle of the ocean through the trees. Mel slowed down to take the first bend, and then the second. After the third bend, she saw gates. She pulled up and contemplated this new barrier. When they were growing up, Otter's Nest didn't have gates. In fact, looking back on it, it didn't have much of anything, except one of the best views on this stretch of coastline. And her best friend. Mel walked over to the gates and hesitated. You couldn't see the house from here, and it was all so anonymous that she wondered for a moment if she was even in the right place. If she was wrong, and the place was rented out to some rich tycoon trying to escape Silicon Valley, then she was going to look pretty stupid. With a shrug, she pressed the buzzer. She'd looked stupid before and survived. She waited and waited. There was no answer. She was about to give up and head back to her car when a voice came through the intercom. Hello? Mel's heart gave a little thump. Joanna? It's me, Mel. Mel Monroe. There was a long pause. Silence. Mel thought, this was a mistake. I shouldn't have come. I'm setting myself up to be hurt again. And she couldn't quite believe that she, Mel, was standing outside Joanna's house, begging to be let in, when once they'd been as close as sisters. They'd done everything together, Mel and Joanna, Nate and Greg, the four friends, inseparable. And then at some point, the balance had shifted, and the four of them had become Mel and Greg and Nate and Joanna. It had happened on Mel and Nate's 16th birthday. They'd had a party on the beach, and Joanna had found her halfway through the evening, eyes shiny, expression dreamy. I kissed your brother. Mel had been shocked, which was hypocritical because she'd been kissing Greg for months. But this was different. Joanna and Nate? She'd been full of doubt and full of questions. Had it been just one kiss, more than a kiss? Was it the start of something? What happened when they broke up, if it got messy? Mostly, if she was honest, she'd been thinking about herself, what it would mean for her. She didn't want to lose her best friend to her brother. She didn't want to have to choose between her best friend and her brother. She and Joanna shared everything, but that wouldn't happen if she was with Nate. It had been a complicated time, hovering, as they were, on the cusp of adulthood, but still clinging to their childhood friendship. Turned out, her fears had foundation. They did break up. It had turned messy. Maybe it had been inevitable. It had been inevitable from the moment the four of them had ceased to be the four of them and begun to be 2 plus 2, Mel and Greg, Joanna and Nate. What happened, Joanna? Why did you leave like that? Mel stepped away from the gate. She shouldn't have come. She was about to slide back into her car and make a rapid exit when the gate swung open. Was that an invitation? Presumably, yes. Leaving the car where she'd parked it, Mel walked through the gates, committed to this plan, whether it turned out to be a mistake or not. The drive curved just as she remembered, and then opened up. And there was the house, Otter's Nest, except that this version was nothing like the original. She stared open-mouthed at the smooth, contemporary lines of the structure, and then the door opened, and Joanna stepped out. Mel felt a powerful rush of emotion and almost went toward her, but then she saw Joanna pause, as if she was deciding whether this was a good idea or not, and that pause hurt Mel's feelings all over again. A tiny, optimistic part of her had imagined them running toward each other like a scene from the movies, the 20 years of silence forgotten in their joy at seeing each other again. It was all a mistake. There was a simple explanation. Her practical side tugged her back to earth again. She told herself that maybe if she'd been through what Joanna had, she'd be cautious too. She stopped a safe distance away, and they both stared at each other, unsure. Once, they'd spent almost every waking minute in each other's company, but it had been more than 2 decades since they'd seen each other in person. There had been no goodbye, no hugs and promises. One day, Joanna had been there, and the next, she'd been gone. There had been so many things Mel had wanted to say, but she'd never had the chance to say them. You left without telling me where you were going. You broke my brother's heart. She called and left messages. There had been no response, which had upset Mel even more. Why couldn't Joanna at least have given a reason so that Mel could try and understand? Technically, Joanna had dumped her the way she dumped Nate. Mel had been traumatized. She'd been ghosted by her best friend. After almost 2 decades of friendship, with all the highs and lows, all she'd been left with were questions. Joanna had married Cliff, bad decision in Mel's opinion, and 5 years later, Nate had married Phoebe, equally bad decision. 4 years after that, Nate and Phoebe had divorced, and this time, Mel hadn't bothered asking what had happened, because she knew. You couldn't marry one person while you were still in love with another, and she was sure Nate had never stopped loving Joanna. How he felt about her now, she had no idea, because he was more likely to share his beer with her than his thoughts. Joanna spoke first. How did you find out I was here? It had been years, Mel thought, and that was the first thing she was going to say? I saw you on the rock. You're the only person who ever sits on that rock. In 2 decades? Yes. I knew it was you. She didn't even ask herself why. If you know I'm here, then I guess everyone does. No, and I'm sure no one else would have been able to recognize you, except maybe if they had binoculars. Joanna didn't smile. They often do, and long lenses, and occasionally drones, although fortunately, they no longer fly those over the house. Mel couldn't imagine it, but she believed it, because she saw the change in her old friend, the wariness, the suspicion. Even the way she held herself suggested that she was braced to retreat in an instant if the need arose. It must be hell. It's life. Joanna's life, not Mel's. Trust me, no one knows you're here. If they did, I would have heard the gossip. You know what this place is like. She paused. When I saw you on that rock, I thought you might contact me. I haven't been in touch with anyone. Anyone? Since when had Mel been anyone? So you came here for what? To hide? Joanna gave a quick shake of her head. What are you doing here, Mel? Mel was asking herself the same question. Why was she here? What exactly did she think was going to happen? What did she want to happen? She was about to get rejected a second time, so maybe it was time to say what needed to be said. I thought it was time to apologize. Joanna stiffened. You don't have anything to apologize for. Not me, you. Was that too direct? No. It's time you apologize to me. For what? Are you kidding? You just left, without saying anything, without giving me a reason. Joanna was breathing fast. It's been more than 20 years, Mel. Yes, I admit the apology is long overdue, but that doesn't make it any less necessary. She realized that all the emotion she'd felt hadn't gone anywhere. It was still there, stored away for a time, just like this. We were best friends, Joanna. We did everything together. You were like a sister to me. There wasn't a thought either of us had that we didn't share. And then you fell in love with my brother, and yes, that made things a bit more complicated, and it didn't turn out the way any of us would have wanted it to. But I don't understand why that had to take our friendship down, too. I don't see why I had to be collateral damage. Was it because you thought I wouldn't forgive you for ditching my brother? The silence was long. Eventually, Joanna spoke. That's why you came here? To yell at me? Dredge up the past? I didn't mean to yell, but this was huge for me. I thought it would be huge for you, too. She was embarrassed by her own lack of control and the contrast between her emotional response and Joanna's composure. You ghosted me. Who the hell does that? She choked on the words, drowning under the tide of emotion. How could you just walk away? Didn't you miss me? I missed you. I hurt, badly. And it's never gone away, Joanna, not for me. And maybe it's because I don't understand what happened. And yes, it's been a long time, but if I did something or said something that made you want to cut me from your life, then I want to know, even after all this time. I want to know. It would help. Would it help? She had no idea. It wasn't about you. If that's true, then why didn't we stay in touch? Joanna straightened her shoulders. Because I couldn't. What do you mean you couldn't? Mel had waited too long for this conversation to leave it at that. You physically couldn't? Someone stole your phone? You lost my number? Cliff wouldn't let you? What? She was shouting. What was wrong with her? She was standing in a driveway, screaming at someone she hadn't seen in years. It was inappropriate, disproportionate. But she couldn't help it. It was how she felt. The emotional side of her was having a party, and she couldn't stop it. It made it worse that Joanna was keeping all her emotions locked inside. She used to show her feelings, love, laughter, pain, grief. Joanna had expressed them all freely. On the day of her father's funeral, she'd howled, she'd screamed. She'd dropped to her knees and tried to climb into the grave with him. She'd been oblivious to her stepmother's horrified demand that she pull herself together. Joanna hadn't been able to pull herself together. The damage was too great. She was like a vase that had been dropped onto concrete, shattered. She was no longer whole, and she didn't care who witnessed her break into pieces. Her father was dead, and she wanted him back. She wanted him back, and if she couldn't have him back, then she wanted to die too. That was her goal. Her stepmother had offered her no comfort. It was Mel who had pushed her way through the adults who were standing by awkwardly. Mel who had hugged her. Mel who had rocked her, cried with her, held her as she'd sobbed and tried to tear out her own hair. It was Mel who had pulled her back from the edge. Mel who had understood that she hadn't just lost her father, but she'd lost the one person in the world who put her above everything and everyone else. She'd lost that most precious gift of all, unconditional love. It was gone forever. Except it wasn't, because she'd had Mel, and they'd sworn when they were 4 years old that nothing would ever come between them. Mel had honored that promise, believed in it, but somehow Joanna had forgotten it. Where was that girl now? Where were those emotions? Joanna was watching her. I couldn't stay in touch. It would have been too hard. You mean because of Nate? We were friends before you and my brother were lovers. She saw color bloom on Joanna's cheeks. That was a long time ago. Was she going to ask about Nate? Did she ever wonder about him? Did she regret ending it? Mel decided to focus on the present. You've had a tough time. You look thin. She remembered their teenage years, the pair of them dieting and standing in front of mirrors and being horribly self-conscious about their appearance every summer when it was swimsuits and beach barbecues and midnight swims and boys. They'd worried about thighs and boobs and stomachs and, God, they'd been young, she thought. All the things that had mattered to them back then didn't matter at all compared to the real stuff. She wished she could have told her teenage self that one day she'd be grateful to have a body that just worked and allowed her to run on the beach and swim in the sea, make love with Greg, and give birth to her daughter. Her anxieties had been nothing, but back then, they'd seemed like everything. It hasn't been the easiest time. It was such a ridiculous understatement that Mel laughed, and to her relief, Joanna laughed too. And that laughter warmed the atmosphere. They'd always had the ability to make each other laugh. One look was often all it had taken, a shared thought, reading each other's minds. There had been times when they'd choked at the dinner table, and times when they'd been thrown out of class. Mel missed that. She had plenty of friends she laughed with, but nothing that came close to that rib-aching, agonizing laughter that had come from being with Joanna. Do you want to come in? Finally, Joanna smiled, and in that moment, Mel caught a glimpse of the girl who had once been her best friend. Do you want me to come in? Yes. Why? Because it would be better than yelling at me outside? No more yelling, I promise. Mel shrugged. I think I might have been bottling that up. Joanna's eyes gleamed. Seemed like it. But hey, if yelling gets me a tour of the new place, then I can yell some more. You want a tour? As long as you're prepared. It's nothing like the old place. Was she expecting judgment? I wouldn't need a tour if it was still the old place, would I? Mel remembered the basket in the car. Wait just a moment. She sprinted back to the car. She wished now she'd added one of Rhonda's chicken pot pies. She tried to resist them, but Joanna looked like she needed the calories. I picked up a few things from the farmer's market. She handed the basket to Joanna. I didn't know what you wanted, or if I get to talk to you. You probably already have all the food you need, Or maybe this isn't gourmet enough for you. You probably cook everything from scratch. It was thoughtful of you to bring something. Joanna looked inside the basket. Cookies? Nate made them. He runs the Surf Cafe now. We took over from our parents. She waited for Joanna's reaction at the mention of her brother, but she saw nothing. The composure that had slipped for a moment when Mel let rip was back. Of course, family business. I'm sure it's successful. So you didn't jet off and get a job in the Big Apple? I imagined you sitting in a glass corner office, barking out orders. So Joanna had thought about her. No, I chose to stay here. You didn't get a job in a bookstore? No, childish dreams. Joanna looked at her, and they shared a smile of understanding. I suppose life doesn't always turn out the way you plan. That's true. How are your parents? They're well, thanks. They decided to make the most of their retirement, hired a van, and they're touring South America. There was more to it than that, of course, but this wasn't the time to share it. Dad's developed an interest in photography, so we get a burst of photos most days. And your mom? She wanted to try writing a book, although I'm not sure she's ever going to finish it. Was Joanna going to ask about Nate? No personal questions about him? Wasn't she even going to ask if he was married? Why not tell her anyway? Nate divides his time between the restaurant and the adaptive surf program. The kids love him. See what a good person he is? Why did you leave him, Joanna? And you? Joanna seemed determined to talk about everything except Nate. You work in the cafe too? Yes, I do all the admin, the ordering, the accounts, everything that isn't cooking, or customers, basically. It sounded boring, even to her. I got pregnant with Eden pretty quickly, and our parents needed help in the cafe, so that's where I ended up. Had she sold out? Ever since Eden had made that accusation, she'd been unable to get the words out of her head. But Nate needed her, the cafe had needed her, and she and Greg needed the salary she drew from it. I still run, though, and I do yoga on the beach every Tuesday and Thursday. If you're hanging around for a bit, you could join me. Maybe. So far, I haven't left the beach house. Joanna transferred the basket onto her arm. Come in. You won't recognize Otter's Nest. You have no idea how many times I've wanted to peek inside this place. Mel stepped inside. Curiosity overwhelmed all other emotions. Clever design. No glass at all by the entrance, so nowhere a photographer can get a sneaky shot. And we've had some high-profile people using the place. The position in security is always a draw. Joanna showed her the kitchen, the study, a downstairs bedroom with doors opening onto the garden, and all Mel could think as she peeped and pierced and gazed was that Joanna had erased the past. There was nothing of the old Otter's Nest here, no memories. The old building with its cracked walls, peeling paintwork, and broken shutters that didn't quite close, the ugly cushions favored by Joanna's stepmother, all gone, to be replaced by this sophisticated, stylish beach house. Mel thought of her own home, crammed with memories of their life together as a family. Photos, awards, souvenirs they'd picked up on various vacations over the years. Eden's early attempts at pottery that she couldn't bring herself to throw away or even put in storage. Everything in the place told a story of the past. Joanna's house had no past. Joanna had basically wiped history. She followed Joanna through the spacious living room and out onto the terrace. The surroundings were more sophisticated, the garden well-tended and stocked with a profusion of colorful plants, but the view hadn't changed. Mel gazed at the ocean just a few steps away. The view is the same, obviously, but nothing else. There's nothing of the old Otter's Nest left. Joanna stiffened. I don't expect you to understand. I understand. Just because we haven't spoken for ages doesn't mean I don't understand. I don't know who you are now, but I knew who you were then. And the old Otter's Nest was part of then. Mel walked to the edge of the terrace and looked back at the beach house nestling in lush gardens and framed by tall trees. It's stunning. My stepmother thinks I butchered the place. She came out to look at it when the building was completed. She wrote to me and said my father would be turning in his grave. Horrible woman, Mel thought. For what it's worth, she's wrong. Your father would have loved it. You think so? Yes. He was an enthusiast and always chasing the next adventure. I can hear his voice now. He would have said, what a brilliant, exciting idea. Do it. That's exactly what he would have said. Thank you for that. Joanna's voice sounded scratchy, and Mel glanced at her. He'd be pleased you're back. Yes, I think he would. Mel frowned. Are you all right? Joanna paused. I haven't talked about my father in years. It feels strange. Why wouldn't she have talked about him? Have you seen your stepmother? No. Joanna straightened her shoulders. I'm sure rumors say otherwise, but it was her choice to move. She wanted something small, easy to maintain, and close to town. Not Silver Point, obviously, because apparently my antics make it difficult for her to show her face in town. I embarrassed her. She said the locals were hostile and suspicious of her. Mel felt anger rumble. She should be embarrassed, all right, but not because of anything you did. And if any of us were hostile, which I doubt, because we're mostly a friendly bunch, as you know, then it would have been because of the way she treated you. Are you going to see her while you're here?
I don't know. Joanna turned. Coming here was a spontaneous decision. I don't plan on leaving the beach house.
How did you leave L.A. without anyone following you?
I left in the middle of the night. I needed to get away. Her gaze darted to the beach, and Mel had a feeling there was something Joanna wasn't telling her.
Well, if you're looking for privacy and space to think, then you chose well.
Space to think. Yeah, that's it.
Joanna's gaze was back on her.
I haven't decided what happens next.
Mel frowned. But if you're not leaving the house, then all you've done is swap one trap for another. Although, admittedly, this one has a truly great view. You should come into town, Joanna. Even if the press discover you're here, the locals would protect you.
Joanna stooped to pull a dead flower from its stem. Now, that's a romantic fantasy. We both know that's not true.
It hurt, the lack of trust, but maybe that was what 2 decades with Cliff Whitman did for you.
How long will you stay? I don't know, until the press figure out I'm here. Then I suppose I'll have to move on.
Mel tried to imagine her movements being dictated by anything other than her own wishes.
Well, you shouldn't have to leave unless you want to. Well, that's not fair.
Joanna stared out over the ocean. Life isn't always fair.
I know. I found that out the time I was grounded for doing your homework. Or maybe you don't remember.
I remember. Joanna laughed, and Mel laughed too, the two of them connecting over that shared memory. And just like that, her anger dissolved.
This is still your home, Joanna. You're still one of us. Plenty of folks had a problem with Denise, but never you. There were no journalists or photographers snooping around in town. If there were, I'd know about it. And I'm not going to tell anyone you're here, obviously.
Was it obvious?
You should come into town and have a look around. The place hasn't changed much. Your favorite beach bookstore is still there, still run by Mary Lou, although she's always torn between the store and caring for her mother.
Care for her? What's wrong with Vivian?
Arthritis. Can't get around too well. Mary Lou goes home a few times a day and closes the store.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Life sucks sometimes.
She tried to think of places from their past.
Remember every Friday we stopped at Frozen Flavor for ice cream? You always chose double chocolate. And I,
mint chocolate chip.
Joanna finished her sentence.
It's still there?
Exactly the same. Had a few makeovers and a few extra fancy flavors, but basically the same. Jane took over from her mother, put all the prices up. Eden and her friends hang out there after school, just as we did.
She felt a little pang.
I miss the days when we thought an ice cream solved everything.
Me too.
Maybe we could... Mel broke off mid-sentence. As Joanna shook her head.
I can't do things like that without attracting attention. It would turn into a circus.
But you can't stay locked up away here forever. There are worse places to be locked away. Joanna walked to the kitchen. Do you want a drink? Something to eat? Are you offering to cook me something?
I don't cook.
Joanna pushed the basket toward her. Choose something.
Mel took a cookie.
Joanna had been married to a top chef for 2 decades. How could she possibly still not cook?
Nate makes the best cookies. He's not married. Nate, I mean. He was married for a while, but it didn't work out.
Joanna poured lemonade into tall glasses.
It happens.
That was it? That was all she was going to say?
Don't you care?
It was a long time ago. Another life. He probably barely remembers me.
Joanna took a sip of lemonade, and Mel saw the slight shake of her hand and knew that no matter what she said, she did care.
Of course he remembers you. He was a total mess after you left.
Joanna put the glass down slowly.
A mess?
Yes. I wanted to kill you for a while for leaving like that with no warning.
You broke his heart.
She saw Joanna's expression change.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. But I'm his twin, and I'm overprotective, you know that. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. It was a long time ago.
Joanna stared at her for a long moment, and then picked a slice of lemon out of her drink.
What exactly did he tell you?
Nothing. You know Nate. He doesn't talk about his feelings, particularly not with me.
But he was heartbroken, for a long time.
How could Joanna not have known that?
Joanna rolled the glass in her hand, sliding her thumb over the frosted surface.
Now I understand why you think I owe you an apology.
What's that supposed to mean?
Confused, Mel was about to push her harder when she saw a movement on the beach. She grabbed Joanna's arm and propelled her toward the house.
There's someone down there. They must have come by boat or something. I didn't even think that was possible. Go, go, go. I'll handle this. I'll get rid of them.
Joanna put the glass down.
Get rid of them?
Yes, I'm married to an officer of the law, remember? One phone call is all it's going to take, and Greg will be here to defend you.
Why was Joanna looking at her like that?
Go, I've got this.
Joanna seemed to rouse herself.
Don't call Greg. It's okay. It's just Ashley. She's doing yoga. It helps her relax.
She extracted herself from Mel's grip and gave her a curious look.
You were going to protect me from an intruder?
Of course. You deserve privacy. I was going to use my outdoor voice, as Eden calls it. Terrifying.
Wait. Mel paused.
You said Ashley.
The Ashley? The girl who was in the car with Cliff?
Yes.
That couldn't be right.
You're kidding me, Joanna.
I'm not kidding you.
The girl who's having Cliff's baby? You have to be kidding me.
Joanna tensed. Can you stop saying that?
How could she, when the whole thing was so unbelievable? Ashley? Here? Why would someone in Joanna's position do a thing like that?
What would happen when the press got hold of that story?
No wonder Joanna didn't plan on leaving Otter's Nest.
She floundered, hunting for the right words.
She'd questioned many of Joanna's decisions, but this one was off the scale.
You're giving house room to the girl Cliff made pregnant?
Joanna's expression was blank.
It's complicated.
No kidding.
Sorry.
Mel raised her hands in apology. I didn't mean to say it again. Truly. That's the last time those words are going to pass my lips, but
what's going on, Joanna?
She had nowhere else to go.
Mel was about to say, so what?
But then she finally saw something familiar in Joanna's eyes, a flash of determination, and she realized that although it seemed that her old friend had changed in some way, fundamentally, she hadn't changed at all. Joanna Rafferty had always found it impossible to walk past anything lost and vulnerable, maybe because she had felt that way herself. Abandoned animals, kids at school who were bullied, Joanna had taken them all under her wing. And sometimes that had turned out okay, and sometimes it hadn't. And now she'd taken in Ashley, and there was only one way that was going to turn out.
What's going to happen when the press find out?
I don't know, Joanna said. Are you going to tell them?
Ouch.
Mel was affronted.
No, of course I'm not going to tell them. But they're going to find out eventually. They're all wondering where you've gone. It won't take them long to track you here.
You're probably right.
And you should leave now. I'm sure you're busy.
Joanna walked back through the beach house to the front door, leaving Mel with no choice but to follow. She was virtually being ejected, and she still didn't really have any answers as to why Joanna had ended their friendship so abruptly. "Joanna, I don't have to leave. I'm not going to. Thanks for visiting and for bringing the basket. I appreciate it." And without exactly knowing how it happened, Mel found herself standing in front of a closed door. What had she expected? That they'd put the past behind them and pick up where they'd left off? That Joanna would meet Mel's emotional honesty with a few confessions of her own? Neither of those things had happened. She hadn't explained, and she hadn't apologized. She thought that seeing Joanna would make her feel better, but it hadn't made her feel better at all. It had made her want to bawl her eyes out. Chapter 11. Joanna. Joanna paced the kitchen and then poured herself a glass of water. What had she been thinking? What was the point of having gone to all this trouble to disappear for a while, only to open the door to someone who was the heart and soul of Silver Point? No doubt it would take all of 5 minutes for the locals to discover that Joanna was giving house room to the unknown woman who had been in Cliff's car. She might as well have called the press herself and declared open house. But she'd been taken by surprise. Not for one moment had she thought Mel might actually show up at her door. She'd been thrown to see her standing there, then flooded with memories of the past and their friendship, and Nate. It had unsettled her to the point that she couldn't think. And now she'd potentially exposed Ashley to unwanted attention. Would Mel say something? She'd learned to trust no one, and yet for some reason she still trusted Mel. She drank the water and put the glass down. Mel had been shocked that Joanna had brought Ashley here. She probably thought it was a mistake, but Joanna knew now that it wasn't a mistake. Yes, she'd had her doubts in the beginning, but every second she spent with Ashley made her more convinced she'd done the right thing. Ashley was scared, and Joanna knew how that felt. Ashley was alone, and Joanna knew how that felt, too. Ashley was trying to hide how scared and alone she was, and Joanna had more experience of that than anyone. Bringing her here might just be the best choice she'd made in a long time, not just for Ashley, but also for herself. Despite her initial trepidation, being back at Otter's Nest had been calming. At night, she lay on the huge bed in the master bedroom, listening to the sound of the surf on the beach and breathing in the fresh ocean air. She hadn't closed the doors once, and it felt as if she was sleeping on the sand. Her dreams were vivid. Her father teaching her to swim and surf, reading to her on their perch on the rocks. There were no dreams of Cliff, perhaps because he had made no imprint on this part of her life. He'd never visited Otter's Nest. It was as if the last 20 years had been wiped away. But as for the years before that, Joanna stared at the basket that Mel had brought. Seeing her old friend had brought back so many memories, some sweet, some sour, and also some confusion, because Mel had been upset, angry, and thought Joanna owed her an apology, which meant Nate hadn't told her what had happened. She reached into the basket. Nate makes the best cookies. She removed the bag with the jaunty Surf Cafe logo. It was strange to think of him running the cafe as his parents had done before him, and Mel working there too. She opened another bag and found tomatoes, jewel red and still on the vine. She pulled one out and sniffed it. It was impossible to live with a chef for 20 years and not appreciate good food, even if she wasn't capable of producing it herself. Fresh is always best, Joanna. Breathe in. What can you smell? Joanna put the tomatoes down. Right now she could smell the sea and the flowers in the garden. Summer. She could smell summer. She was 40 years old, and she had no idea what she wanted to do with her life. But she wanted to stop running. Every decision she'd made in her life, leaving Silver Point, marrying Cliff, had been driven from a desire to escape the situation she was in. She was about to call Ashley when the girl appeared out of breath in the doorway. She was wearing a spotted bikini and a wrap from the selection Joanna had given her. Her feet were bare and dusted with sand from the beach. Her hair was loose over her shoulders, and her cheeks were pink from the Californian sun. She looked 1,000 times healthier and more relaxed than the girl Joanna had rescued from the hospital.
"I saw someone. How did they find us? How did they get in?"
"I let her in," Joanna thought. She felt the same unease Ashley was feeling, but she didn't show it. "It was Mel. She was a friend of mine when I was growing up." She grabbed plates from the cupboard. "You should eat. You're not eating enough."
"I'm not hungry."
Ashley set her feet into flip-flops and grabbed a towel that she'd left on the side.
"If she was a friend, she won't tell people we're here, right?"
She saw no reason not to be honest.
"I don't think she'd do it on purpose, but this is a small town. It's impossible to keep secrets in a small town."
Ashley rubbed at the edges of her hair with a towel.
"So do we have to leave?"
"We." The word tugged them close. They were in this together. Joanna put a cookie in front of Ashley. Better junk food than no food.
"Do you want to leave?"
"No. This place is like paradise. Also, you like it. I can tell. You're more relaxed, and that's good."
"Then we won't leave."
"And if the press show up?"
"When," Joanna thought. "When, not if."
"It's not easy to get access. We'll be safe here."
"Maybe they won't be interested. Maybe they're bored with the story by now."
Ashley looked far more relaxed about it than Joanna felt, but that might have been because she had no idea what was coming.
"Let's hope so."
She was sure, absolutely sure, that once the true story emerged, they were going to be anything but bored. Ashley draped the towel over the back of the chair.
"How good a friend was she?"
"The best."
"We were close. But you didn't stay in touch?"
"No." If Mel hadn't been Nate's twin, would it have been different? "Until today, I hadn't seen her for 2 decades.
"So you've not spoken to her for longer than I've been alive?"
"Yes, I suppose that's right."
Why had Mel come to see her now? Curiosity?
Surely she hadn't taken such a big step just because she wanted an apology.
"Why did you lose touch?"
Ashley poured herself some orange juice from the jug Joanna had put on the table. Joanna thought about Nate.
"It's complicated."
Ashley, who clearly had no trouble delving for truths, opened her mouth to press further, and Joanna was relieved when her phone rang.
"I have to take this. It's Nessa, my assistant. You should eat something. The cookies are good."
Cookies by Nate. She wasn't going to think about Nate. She wandered out onto the terrace and felt the breeze lift her hair. She'd been anxious about coming back here, but now she was here. She didn't want to leave. She answered the call.
"Nessa, is everything okay?"
"Depends how you define okay, boss. Okay is subjective, isn't it? I mean, one person can..."
She broke off.
"Forget it. Things are not okay. I've had a call from a journalist."
Joanna picked a dead flower from a geranium.
"You don't have to take their calls."
"I know, but this one left a message telling me that she had the biggest scoop of the century, and if I didn't answer, then you'd probably fire me."
"I am never firing you, Nessa. You know that." Joanna snapped another head off the plant, this time a perfectly healthy one. Had Mel called the press? No, she wouldn't do that. Would she?
What does she think she knows?
She listened while Nessa told her, and at some point, her legs turned as liquid as melted butter, and she sat down hard on the lounger.
So they knew the truth. How had they found out?
It couldn't have been Mel. Mel didn't have access to the information the journalist had. And that was a relief, but it didn't change the fact they had a problem. It had been inevitable, of course. She'd known that. And she'd done what she always did. She'd chosen to run from it. Her strategy had been avoidance. She'd hidden, because that was how she lived her life.
"Boss? Joanna? Are you there?"
"Yes."
"I told her it was a load of lies, and..."
"It's not lies."
There was silence.
"It's not? You knew?"
"Yes, I knew.
Joanna took a long, slow breath, trying to think.
Do you have her number?
Yes. Nessa sounded unsure now.
She says the story is going live at midnight, and if you want to give some sort of comment, you have to call her by this afternoon.
I can't believe.
What can I do?
Nothing. Send over the details, and I'll get back to you later. Thanks, Nessa.
Of course. And Joanna,
Nessa paused.
For what it's worth, I think you're an incredible person.
Doing what you did, knowing.
Incredible person. Hardly.
Joanna ended the call and sat for a moment.
Now what?
The press had been hungry for a story from the moment they discovered there was a woman in Cliff's car. They were going to get more than they'd hoped for.
Is everything all right?
Ashley stood in the doorway, a frown on her forehead and anxiety in her eyes. Joanna felt the weight of responsibility.
Come and sit down. There's something I need to say to you.
There's something I want to say, too.
Ashley sat on the lounger next to her.
It's great here, and I know you love it. I've seen you swimming in the mornings in the sea and reading your book on the lounger. I don't think we should leave.
Things have changed. That was my assistant. She had a call from a journalist who was working on an exclusive. The sun was blazing, and Joanna wondered how life could feel so difficult on such a glorious day. It felt wrong somehow. They're publishing the story tomorrow, which means that everyone will know.
A journalist? So your friend did say something? Call someone?
No, it wasn't her.
How do you know that?
Because she wouldn't. Deep down, she'd known that. No matter how angry or upset Mel was, she wouldn't betray their friendship. And because this journalist has information that Mel couldn't possibly have known, she's been digging around in the past, researching her story. And it was going to be bad. She'd lived through this often enough to know that. Ashley was still in a state of blissful ignorance.
Story? What story?
Joanna rubbed her palms over her legs.
Why was it that the two innocent parties in all this, the two people who had the least reason to feel awkward or embarrassed, were the ones having this conversation?
We both know which story.
I know the truth, Ashley. I've known who you were from the moment they showed your picture on the TV. I recognized you.
I don't know what you mean. We've never met. You couldn't possibly have recognized me.
She looked young and scared, and Joanna felt old and tired.
I recognized you, she said, because you look exactly like your mother.
Although I had no idea what you were doing in Cliff's car, that part confused me at first. Ashley's lips parted as she sucked in air.
You knew my mother? You met her?
No, I've seen photographs. What would she have done if she'd met her? Would she have slapped her? No, Joanna had never hit anyone. Would she have shouted at her?
Do you know what you did?
There was no point in even wondering, because Ashley's mother was dead, and Joanna was never going to meet her. It felt weird to have never met the person who had changed her life so profoundly. Ashley licked her lips.
I don't understand.
Joanna didn't understand either. She never had, but she knew the facts.
I don't know what your mother told you, but she was Cliff's first affair.
Ashley stared at her, swallowed.
Joanna,
and now a journalist who is slightly sharper than the others, has somehow managed to figure it out. She probably found that old photograph, read about the suggestion of an affair, or maybe she noticed the resemblance as I did. I don't know the details, but however it happened, she knows the truth.
The truth?
Joanna stared at the pool, focused on the glistening discs of sunlight playing across the surface of the water. She knows that you weren't Cliff's lover, she said. You're his daughter. And the story will be live tomorrow. Chapter 12. Ashley.
Story? How had her life turned into someone else's story?
She felt shaky and also scared because this whole thing was spiraling out of her control. Ever since she'd first found out the truth about who her real father was,
A part of her had been screaming inside. No, no, no. It was horrible. He was horrible. He'd actually flirted with her. Thinking about it made her feel sick. And now Joanna was telling her that the whole world was about to find out. Her private humiliation was about to be made public. And Joanna had known who she was the whole time. Ever since that moment in the hospital, she'd been going over and over it in her mind, trying to figure out exactly when to tell Joanna the truth. It had never seemed like the right moment. But now she realized that the right moment would have been when Joanna sat down next to her. "Hi, I'm Ashley, and I'm your ex-husband's daughter. You should probably leave now." She was so angry with her mother for not being honest. But hadn't she just done the same thing? She'd been planning to tell the truth at a time convenient to her, but Joanna had known the truth all along. She'd known, but she brought her here anyway. She'd taken care of her, even though Ashley was the living, breathing embodiment of Cliff's transgressions.
"How did you find out?
You said you noticed the resemblance. It was the photo?" Her teeth were chattering. She had to pull herself together. It didn't matter how bad the truth made her feel, she had to deal with it. She had to deal with the fact that she was Cliff Whitman's daughter and that there was a hell of a lot her mother hadn't told her, that she was now sitting in front of his ex-wife and that she was pregnant. It was enough to make her want to crawl back under the covers and never come out. If Joanna felt a fraction of what she was feeling, it was no wonder she preferred to live a low-key life.
"Ashley, take a breath."
Joanna's voice was kind. How could she be kind, knowing who Ashley was?
"I feel..."
Her breath hitched, and she felt Joanna's hand close over hers.
"I can imagine how you feel, but you need to take a breath. You need to stay calm. Think about the baby. It's going to be all right. We're going to figure this out together."
Together. Ashley felt the pressure of Joanna's hand on hers, and her eyes filled. If she'd admired Joanna before, then she loved her a little at that point. Loved her not only for her kindness, but also for her calm and generosity. She was drowning, and the firm pressure of Joanna's hand on hers was the only thing preventing her from sliding under the surface. But Joanna was right. She had to stay calm for the baby.
"I'm okay."
She took another breath, clung to Joanna's hand.
"Thank you.
It's a shock, I know. The first time I read a story about myself in the press, I felt as if a bunch of people were crowded in my bathroom watching me take a shower."
"Well, it's not just about what they're going to write. It's the whole thing, the whole story.
How long have you known about my mother and Cliff?" "I had my suspicions right back when it happened. Cliff and I had been married 2 years. He was filming in San Diego. Normally, I would have gone with him. But that particular time I didn't, because I was pregnant and couldn't stop being sick." She paused. "I didn't even mind not going. I was so excited and thrilled to be pregnant. And if being sick every morning was the price I had to pay to have our baby, then I was willing to pay it. I told Cliff he should go without me. I didn't want to cramp his style. Afterward, of course, I wondered what would have happened if I'd gone." Ashley had no idea what to say. She felt sick, too, but this time it was nothing to do with her pregnancy.
"I'm sorry. The truth is that Cliff probably would have slept with your mother anyway, but that's beside the point."
Joanna paused again, as if recounting the story was a challenge she wasn't quite up to. A sharp-eyed journalist saw the two of them out together, having dinner in a place they probably thought was sufficiently out of the way and unfashionable that they wouldn't be noticed or recognized. But someone, somewhere, always recognized Cliff. It was something he enjoyed. He expected it. He believed recognition to be a mark of success. But it had its downsides, one of which was its inability to blend in. It was almost impossible for him to keep a low profile. Cliff, her father. This was her real father they were talking about, and she couldn't get her head around it.
Joanna carried on talking. The publication that ran the story rang me for a comment. Cliff denied it, said it was work, a business meeting. The woman, your mother, worked at a venue they were using as a location for filming. I didn't believe him. Ashley had a clear image of how that encounter might have played out. Are you having an affair? No, of course not. My mother told me that back then she sometimes worked freelance for an events company, waitressing, that kind of thing. It was extra money. Joanna barely reacted. A few days later, I lost the baby. Without thinking, Ashley pressed her palm to her flat belly. She hadn't thought the story could make her feel worse. She'd been wrong. I'm sorry. Already she felt fiercely protective toward the baby she was carrying. I read about your miscarriage. But she hadn't understood until now how awful it must be to have the most personal details of your life made public. Joanna stared at the calm water of the pool. It was my darkest, lowest moment. Cliff was wonderful, and I stopped caring whether that rumor was true or not, because I needed him badly. Nothing mattered to me except the baby. I couldn't get out of bed. I couldn't stop crying. People kept telling me that miscarriages were common, but I'd lost a child. I was bereft. Cliff was there for me. He didn't leave my side. Joanna gave a wan smile. And now, looking back, I wonder how much of it was guilt. But at the time, I needed him too much to question his motives. I ignored the rumors. I ignored the stories about your mother and the photos. Even if it was true, it was over. That's what I told myself. Except it wasn't over. Because she was pregnant, too. Only I didn't know that at the time. That was me. She was pregnant with me. Ashley felt as if her heart was being squeezed. I feel guilty for existing. Joanna rubbed her hand. Don't. However emotional and difficult this is, let's not lose sight of the truth here. The whole thing was a mess, but the one person who was blameless was you. And you. Ashley's throat felt tight. You were blameless too. I should have told you the truth about being his daughter right away. I wanted to. Not saying anything has been making me feel sick, and I hate myself for not doing it sooner. I've avoided the conversation, too. Don't feel bad. I can see it was a horribly difficult thing to tell me. That's why you've not been eating? Joanna frowned. Can I fetch you something now? No, I couldn't eat. I just want us to talk. I want you to tell me everything. I don't want us to have secrets. Don't keep anything back from me, however bad it is. You haven't told me how you found out I existed. It was about a year ago. I overheard a phone call. Cliff was in his study, and he left the door open, something he never did. He was talking to someone. Joanna paused, remembering. Shouting, not talking. He yelled, I told you never to call me. And I couldn't hear what she said. I assumed it was a woman. But whatever it was made him even more angry. I was still outside the door, but I would have heard him from almost anywhere in the house. He said, I can't help, and it's no good begging. It's not my responsibility. You can't do this to me now. He was furious and scared. I watched him through the crack in the door, and his face was red and he was sweating, and I knew for sure that whatever it was they were talking about, it definitely was his responsibility, and he knew it. Ashley's heart was pounding. A year ago? That would have been just after her mother had gotten sick. Just before she'd been taken into the hospital. And she remembered that call, because she remembered the words. She'd heard the other side of the conversation, the words Joanna wouldn't have heard, the words Cliff had been responding to. She remembered the tone as much as the content of the conversation. Her mother wasn't an emotional person. She never lost control, and yet she'd lost control that day. You have to help. I'm begging you. And Ashley had sat there, frozen with shock, witnessing a side of her mother she'd never seen before. She'd wondered who she was talking to and how anyone could refuse to help someone who was obviously desperate. And now she knew. Her mother had called Cliff Whitman. That was something she'd failed to mention to Ashley, along with many other things. It felt like another betrayal, and it stung all the more because she had so many questions and no one she could ask. Her mother was dead. Cliff was dead. But she had Joanna, and Joanna was still holding her hand. Joanna was telling her the truth, and Ashley sensed it was as hard for Joanna to say it as it was for her to hear it. "Yes, a year ago. That was when I finally decided to divorce him." "Oh, you look pale. Wait there. I'm getting you some juice." Joanna stood up and returned a few moments later with freshly squeezed juice, cool from the fridge. Ashley took a gulp and then another. She hadn't realized her mouth was so dry. "So you decided to divorce him because you discovered he cheated on you with my mother?" Had there ever been a more awkward conversation? "No," Joanna said. "I divorced him because I discovered he had a child that he'd known about the whole time and refused to acknowledge. I've forgiven him many things, but I couldn't forgive him that." She stood up quickly and paced across the terrace and back. "You'll have to excuse me. I'm not used to talking about this with anyone. I never have. It's difficult." Ashley almost wished she wasn't talking about it now, but there had been enough lies and cheating. She wanted the truth, but maybe that wasn't fair on Joanna. "If you're finding it too hard, it's hard, but you deserve to know all of it." Joanna rubbed her fingers over her forehead, visibly stressed. "When your mother made that call, he panicked at the thought of it all coming out and what it might do to him. He never once thought about what you might need. He was thinking only of himself. I said to him, 'You had a baby, Cliff. You have a child you've never met, a child who needs you, and you're worrying about yourself?' I told him he disgusted me." Whoever thought Joanna was weak should see her now, Ashley thought. "What did he say?" "He tried to deny it, but because I'd heard everything, he had no choice but to confess the whole story. And it didn't make for happy listening. It turned out your mother told him she was pregnant as soon as she knew. He panicked and offered her money, but she told him she wasn't interested in his money if he wasn't prepared to be an active part of your life." Ashley went hot and then cold. "I didn't know that." "Why didn't she? Why did she have to discover all these things when it was too late? There was no opportunity to discuss them now. No chance to ask her mother the questions that were crowding inside her. No chance to ask Cliff, her father, why he hadn't thought about what she might need." "I can imagine she would say a thing like that. She was proud. She always taught me the importance of self-reliance, being able to support myself." And yet in that conversation Ashley had overheard, her mother had been yelling and desperate. "You found out for sure about the affair and about me at the same time?" "Yes. He told me your mother had called him about 11 weeks after their affair. I just had a miscarriage." Joanna sat back down. It was the worst possible time to confess that he'd fathered a child with another woman. "She raised me alone. And then she met my dad. At least, I always thought of him as my dad." Her view of everything had changed in the last few months. And her childhood had been happy. She hadn't had a clue about any of this in her mother's background. But her mother had known. She'd carried the truth with her for her whole life and only revealed it at the end, and only because she sensed she wasn't going to recover. "I don't know if even my dad knew Cliff was my real father." "I'm sure Cliff thought the whole thing was behind him, and he would have been relieved.